The prayer for understanding of God's word. Living God, help us so to hear your word that we may truly understand, that understanding we may believe, and believing we may follow your way in all faithfulness, seeking your honor and glory in all that we do. Amen. The scripture reading today is Acts 4, verses 32 to 37. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership over any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as many as had need. There was Levit, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. There's a second reading, and that is Acts 9, verses 36 to 43. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time, she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner.
So there was a king of an African tribe, after many years, faced the fact that his throne was wearing out. It had been repaired a couple of times, but eventually collapsed and was replaced with a new one. The king, for sentimental reasons, hated to part with his old throne. So it was hoisted on ropes to the ceiling of his grass hut and stored there. Then one night during a storm, the throne fell down and hit the king on the head. The moral of the story is, wait for it, people who live in grass houses shouldn't stow thrones. Boo. That's bad. Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We're talking a little bit about kings today. So we've been talking about the expressions of gratitude over the last few weeks. But before I launch into that, I kind of want to stop for a moment because this is an important time in the life of the church and in our walk of faith. How many of you are familiar with the fact that there is a church calendar, not the one that's in the bulletin, but a liturgical calendar? About half the hands, there's nods and such. And, you know, each week we print those lectionary readings so that it kind of tracks through the liturgical year. And so we begin with that year next week. So the liturgical year doesn't follow January to December. It starts next Sunday. And next Sunday is the first Sunday of the season of Advent. And Advent is that season where we prepare to receive Christ anew. In the days of the Old Testament, there was this yearning for Christ or for God's Messiah to come. And so we see a lot of the texts are those prophetic texts. And so in Advent, we're waiting and hoping for the coming of Christ and preparing room for him, as the song goes, Joy to the World. And we also kind of in that same season, while we know Christ has already come, we yearn and wait for his return. And so the season of Advent. And then we get to Christmas and the celebration of the incarnation, the birth of Christ, the coming of God in the person of Christ. And then a few weeks, you know, a few days pass, and we get to, you know, the 12 days of Christmas. Well, at the end of that's Epiphany. And Epiphany is the season where the wise men join the picture. You know, they really shouldn't be in the manger. They come later. And so we see them, and this is a reminder. This Epiphany is revelation. It's light. And so it's a reminder that this gift of Christ is for all people, not just for the Jewish people, but for the world. And then we go a few more weeks, and we enter the season of Lent. And that time where we journey with the Israelites as they are formed in the wilderness to be God's people, and also with Jesus in his 40 days of temptation. And we evaluate our relationship with Christ in those days. And then we come into that last week of Lent and that Passion Week. Jesus enters into Jerusalem on a donkey, this humble king. And, of course, we know that he dies on the cross. And then, of course, we get glorious Easter Sunday. And a few weeks later, we have the Ascension. And then, ultimately, we reach Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. And then we get this really long period of time. We call it ordinary time. It's green. And it's green a really long time, so thank you, Joyce, for some color into our green as we celebrate Thanksgiving. But we come to that season, and that season is really about the life of the church. What's it like to be in community with each other, and what is the mission of the church? And so this liturgical season takes us from Advent and around, so we're retelling every year the story of God's people, of that time of waiting around to the birth and then the life in Christ and the Spirit. But then we get to today. Today is Christ the King Sunday. It is the end of the story. It's the glorious fact that Christ is enthroned and his kingdom is now and among us. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is king over all powers of this earth. And his kingdom is now, but we also celebrate and recognize not quite yet. And each week we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Because each week we're praying that what Christ brought, it will be realized more and more each and every day until, of course, the day comes and the trumpet sounds and Christ comes on the clouds and all things are made new. And so on Christ the King Sunday, it's really important for us not to gloss over it. And unfortunately, Christ the King Sunday does get glossed over because most years it falls on the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And so we spend a lot of time celebrating Thanksgiving. But it's really important for us to understand that if Christ is not King and Lord, and there is no kingdom here on earth, then there's no need for Christmas. You know, the beginning of the story only is necessary because there's an end, that Christ reigns, and reigns now and will reign forever and ever. The other part of it is to remind us that Christ as King is not some remote thing, but that Christ is King and Lord of our hearts and of our lives. And as such, it reminds us that we have a life to live that is unique and set apart, that we are those who are kingdom messengers, those who bring about God's kingdom here on earth as in heaven, which is why we're talking about these expressions of gratitude. Gratitude should undergird all of our lives. Like I shared with the children this morning, even if we have to pick up our toys, we can be thankful we had toys. Even in the midst of the most difficult times in our lives, there is gratitude because we have Christ, we have life in him, and we can find things for which we are grateful. And so over the last few weeks, we've talked about how we can express that gratitude. And so we've talked about how we can express that gratitude by simply saying to God, thank you for the three things every day, at least, that we're thankful for. And we can praise God for all of the attributes of God, for his goodness and his love and his mercy and on, just so many great things of who God is and what God's done. And then last week we talked about telling others that, you know, as Joy sang this morning, it's no secret. You know, the good news is out there. And as those who've been touched, we're called to share that story. And then we get to this final expression today, which is, I'm calling it paying it forward, the idea of exchanging or returning a kindness for a kindness. And it's really kind of a perfect season to really launch into that, because we are about to launch into the frenzy of the holiday season. And, you know, in this season where we're, as Christians, contemplating our relationship with Christ and anticipating a new Christ in our hearts, we have to deal with all that trapping of the holiday and the hustle and the bustle. I heard this quote a few years ago, and it is really perfect, but it's this: Black Friday, because only in America do people trample each other for sales exactly one day after being thankful for what they already have. It's so true. It's so true. And you know, as a pastor, this season just really bugs me. You know, every time something else comes up that strips just a little bit more of Christianity out of the season, you know, this is our season. And so as we enter into this season, this particular expression of gratitude, I think, is absolutely perfect. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, about this paying it forward, exchanging a kindness for a kindness. So imagine for a moment that you are at a drive-thru of your favorite fast food restaurant, or you're in the checkout at a restaurant or at the grocery store, and you reach the pickup window or the cashier, and you are told that your food has been paid for by the person in front of you. How would you feel? Yay, yay. How would you respond? But you don't know that person. They're gone. How would you respond? Do it for somebody else. You know, in 2013, the New York Times reported some incidences of drive-through generosity. They reported that in December 2012, 228 consecutive cars at a Tim Hortons in Winnipeg, Manitoba, paid for the meal of the vehicle behind them. 228 in a row. That's amazing. April 2013, 67 cars at a Chick-fil-A in Houston. And in July 2013, 55 cars at a Heavenly Donuts in Amesbury, Massachusetts. That's some examples. You know, this notion of paying forward was made popular in the release of a 2000 film called Paying It Forward. How many of you saw that? More at this service than the last service. It's a great movie. You know, the story revolves around a social studies teacher who challenges his junior high class to think of an idea that could change the world, and then they were to put it into action. Well, Trevor, the young hero of the story, presents an idea of paying it forward with three random acts of kindness, and his classmates ridicule him. Well, he's undaunted, and he goes out and performs his three acts of spontaneous kindness, and it sets in motion an unprecedented wave of human kindness that just spreads across the nation. The story is very inspiring, but if you decide you want to see it, grab some Kleenex, because it has a sad ending. Because Trevor steps in to defend a friend who's being bullied, and in the struggle, he is stabbed and killed. But in the closing scene, hundreds come to pay respects to Trevor because of his initial three acts of kindness had rippled out to so many. You know, it's easy for us to show love to those who love us, and it's natural to repay a kindness for a kindness received. But paying it forward goes beyond that. It's being kind to someone other than the person who was kind to us. And the idea of paying it forward is not new. It's really a concept that is central to our Christian faith because we celebrate an unprecedented act of kindness, for God so loved the world. From the cradle to the cross, God's promise of hope and forgiveness and reconciliation realized in the person of Christ, who paid it forward with his life, his death, and his resurrection. And because of his gift, we stand strong, his act of kindness. And you know, this act of kindness cannot be repaid. We can't earn it, and we can't pay God back. As Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians, we are saved by grace through faith, not by what we do. And so we can't pay God back, and God doesn't expect us to pay him back, but God does call us to pay it forward. As the song says, pass it on, to share it. And that's where we come to this morning's text. You know, this is the book of Acts, and the book of Acts chronicles the life of the early church as the gospel spreads out from Jerusalem and into the rest of the world. And in the midst of that, we hear that there is preaching and that there is grace and the stories are growing and the enthusiasm, and it's spreading. And so we get to this text first of Joseph, in this context of people selling what they have and pooling it together so that no one has need. It's a wonderful story of sharing and generosity. But what is amazing to me is this person, Joseph. You know, we don't know what his generosity brought about. We don't know how people were affected by it, but we do know this much. They changed his name. They changed it to Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. So there's something about this man's life and how he received grace and how he paid forward that grace to others that earned him the name Son of Encouragement. And then we have this Tabitha, or Dorcas. And this wonderful, you know, if she were born today, she would get so picked on with that name. But it's an amazing name. You know, I wouldn't mind having that name because she is an amazing woman. Again, another woman touched by grace and the love of Christ in her life. And this story is a wonderful miracle story, but there, if you imagine the scene around it, here is this woman who has died, and Peter comes and enters the room where she is, and these women are there with what Dorcas made for them. You know, the cloaks and other clothing, and they're showing Peter, and they're weeping. Again, this woman, touched by grace, spills out in a life of compassion, but also using the gifts that she had of making clothing that, again, touched lives. And so we see in both of these people and many others in the book of Acts and in the scripture and throughout the centuries of the church who have been touched by grace, and then their lives flow out in that ripple effect of sharing God's love. And so paying God's love forward, it's done in a variety of ways. With our words, with our time, our energy, talents, and sometimes even our money. Gandhi once said, be the change you want to see in the world. How many of us would like to see the world change? But I like what he says, be the change you want to see in the world. The change you want, do it. And so here's your homework that I've given you every week. You know, continue those acts of kindness and praising God and telling others. Because I'll tell you, I've been blessed this week by people's stories. Some people have shared their stories of God's work in their lives, and I've been very blessed by it. So I invite you to continue to tell each other stories. But today, this week, and for the rest of the year, I want us to take back Christmas as a church, to go out and pay it forward. And so there are ways to do that. Acts of kindness that are, first of all, very simple. You can offer a compliment. You can smile at people. Hold a door open. Say hello to a stranger. Let a driver merge in front of you. Yeah. See, we all laugh at that one, don't we? Yeah. You know, when I was associate pastor at St. Mark's in Tucson, they were doing road construction on McGee Road between my house and the church. And the traffic would just back way back, and there were all these little feeder streets from the residential areas, and those had a lot of cars in them. And I'm not a patient person when it comes to being in a car, and I have to talk to myself. So in this particular season of time, I said, I'm going to make a game out of this. And so I started to let cars merge in front of me. And then I would watch to see what happened with the car behind me and the car in front of me. And it was very interesting. The car in front of me, way less than 50% of the time, they didn't stop to let somebody in. And sometimes they even moved closer to my bumper so that nobody could slip in. But the people who were in front of me, a good 75-80% of the ones I let in, turned around and did the same thing for somebody else. Repaying a kindness for a kindness. You know, you can let someone else go before you in the checkout line. For some reason, I don't have a problem with that as much as I do in my car. And then also, this one's not on your list in the bulletin, because some of these are in your bulletin, but this one I really recommend. Because this season, those who are working in the stores, this is a hard season for them. If they're in restaurants or, you know, at Penny's or any of the department stores, it's really stressful to check people out because everybody's very intense when they're shopping and they're, you know, people are asking them questions and they're getting impatient. One of the nicest things to do is even more than saying thank you and say their name and watch what happens. And then be prepared, because I've done that and then had the person start talking to me. Because all of a sudden you've acknowledged they exist beyond just a simple thank you. You've said their name. It's huge. You can be more vested by volunteering your time, visiting a homebound person or someone in a care facility, inviting someone who is alone or grieving for lunch and coffee, pay for someone's meal, or leave a waiter or a waitress a bigger tip. We often bemoan our times, and we yearn for those good old days. French philosopher Jacques Ellul wrote, "Christians were never meant to be normal." Here's what he says, "We've always been holy troublemakers." I like it. Be a holy troublemaker. "We do not accept the world as it is, but insist on the world becoming the way God wants it to be." And so for the rest of the year, let's strive to be holy troublemakers. Let us insist that the world become the way God wants it to be. Let us be the change that we want to see in our world. Let us pay God's love forward to the end that God's kingdom does come on earth as in heaven. Thanks be to God. Amen.